So they went into the pubs. Now, a little known fact, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, they started something called the Salvation Navy. Never heard of it, have you? Because it didn't last long. Because they realized back then, it took like almost 4.5 weeks to go across in a ship. And they would get on a ship to preach the gospel and share the gospel and help people. And then like 2.5, 3 weeks into it, there ain't a whole lot you can do on a boat. And they couldn't get off the boat. And so the Salvation Navy only lasted about 1.5 years. But my grandfather journals all the exploits that they did when they went out on these ships to share the gospel and how dangerous it was. Because once you're on a ship, you can't get off if everybody starts to hate you or wants to beat on you for sharing the gospel. And so they would get caught in a lot of these places. So God doesn't like injustice. Did you find one? Not yet.
No. Okay. Salvation Army.
Yeah, the Salvation Army will
look.
Okay.
There
you go, Hark the Herald. There's one. There's a lot of them, which we'd be surprised to find out. So last week we said, look, you got to be your real self. If you want to follow this God that you say you want to follow, I was even asking Roanne today, was it Roanne? Why some people don't show up?
No, but you asked me.
And what was your answer? What was the answer?
Are we talking about like people we invite? Or
no, like Christian people who just can't be committed to coming every week.
I have a lot of answers for that.
Give me one.
there are other things preoccupying our time.
Other things preoccupying our time. We're busy. We're too busy. It's boring. Why don't we want to sit in church? It's boring. Then we're going for all the wrong reasons. See, the world right now, this is North America. In the rest of the world, God is flying. Jesus is like top. People are coming to know Jesus all over the world. You come to North America, church attendance has dropped by 50%. People now say, I go to church regularly. That means they'll go once a month. It's not every week. When I grew up, you went to church Sunday morning. You went to church Sunday night. You went to church Wednesday night. You went to youth group on Tuesday night. And you probably hung out on a Friday night. It was like 4 nights of the week. And you didn't complain because that's what you did. And it was constant in your life. Now we'd be lucky if we get people on a Sunday consistently. Or even better right now, it's called shop around Jesus. So we come to this church in the morning, then we go to another church in the afternoon, or we go one church for a couple of weeks, we go to another church for a couple of weeks, and we never actually commit to a place where we're going to grow and we're going to commit ourselves to being there. And so we're not our real selves. We're faking it. Hey, do you like God? I do on a Tuesday night. I'm here, aren't I? It's like, okay, but when you read your Bible, did you? Yeah, I read it. Doesn't make much sense to me. I just kind of scan through it. I have an app that sends me a little reading every day. When was the last time you shared your faith? Shared my faith. What do you mean by that? Do you mean when was the last time I said no to drugs when everybody was taking drugs? Well, that was like last week. Or do you mean the time when everybody was like gossiping about somebody and I just sat there and didn't gossip? No, that's not sharing Jesus. That's just trying to be nice. When was the last time you sat down with a friend and said, I want to tell you about this God I believe in? Well, I don't want to do that because I'm afraid people aren't going to accept me. I'm afraid people are going to look at me walking down the hall and go, oh boy, get away from them. It's interesting. I was listening to one of my favorite speakers, and he was telling me about his high school experience. And when he was in grade 11, he was walking through the campus, and there were the Jesus people. And they'd be sitting out on the grass in front of the high school. And they'd be singing and talking about Jesus at lunchtime. Every lunchtime, there'd be a group of them out there. And he's like, stay away from those people. And he said everybody would make a wide berth around them. And then one day he was walking by and he heard a song. And he's like, that's kind of groovy. And he sat far enough away that he wouldn't be associated with them, but close enough that he could hear the guy who was speaking. And he said, what I heard that day changed my life. And next thing you know, I didn't want to have a Bible. Somebody gave me a Bible. I had to try and hide it in my pocket. Not only did they give me a Bible, they gave me a Bible with a popsicle cross on the front of it. And I hid it in the bushes whenever I'd go into somebody's house because I didn't want them to know I had a Bible. And then one day, the kid's mother was coming in and walks in and holds my Bible up with the cross going, "I found this in the bushes. Who does it belong to?" Moment of truth. Do I say it's mine? Or do I sit there quietly? That was his moment in 12th grade when he had to decide, am I going to say I'm for him? Or am I going to hide it? I won't tell you the end of the story. You'll have to listen to it. I can send you the MP3. It's a classic. He is so amazing, his life story. Afraid of being exposed. And I've told you this before. Do you carry your Bible to school? It's on my phone. Okay, so when you're sitting like this, nobody knows you're reading your Bible. It's like, so what? It's for show? I got to have a Bible so everybody knows I'm reading the Bible? Yes! Make it public. What are you afraid of? Well, that's like the hypocrites. Didn't they go outside? Didn't God say, don't be like the Pharisees who stand in front of everybody and pray out loud and read from the scriptures? Okay. If you become a hypocrite, I'll let you know. Right now, you're not a crit at all, okay? There's no crit in you. You're not a hypocrite. You're not even a crit. You don't even stand up and say anything, let alone, I got a Bible in my hand. I don't know if crit's a word, but you're not a hypocrite. Okay? How about just trying to be a witness and somebody who stands up for what they believe in a confident, bold way and let the chips fall where they may? Ooh. But I'm not sure I want to expose myself to ridicule and laughter. I don't know if the God that I serve is worth it. Because that cross, that was 2,000 years ago. And it's really good Jesus did that. But that's a long time ago. Nobody remembers that. And you want me to stand out there and tell everybody that some guy died on the cross and 3 days later rose again? And that I believe in that? And I just know it's right because it's right for me and it makes me feel good and I feel purposeful and passionate? I can't do that because I don't know if anybody else feels that way. I'll tell you what, if you start right now, for the rest of this year, sitting out on the grass in front of your school with your Bible open, talking about Jesus, you're going to attract one of two types of people. You're going to attract the people who go, what are you doing? Which is your moment. Your moment to go, nothing. Or to say, actually, we're just talking about God and we're just going to be praying. You want to join us? Yeah, that's okay, thanks. All right? What's the harm? Or what if somebody else walks along and goes, hey, what are you doing? We're just praying and reading the Bible. Cool, I didn't know there were other Christians in the school. Can I join you? Absolutely, come sit and pray with us. Come sit and talk Jesus with us.
I'd be your friend.
Yes, whatever this is. Whatever you told me to do, I don't know.
Fortnite causes cancer!
I don't know. Anyway.
So,
my point is, last week we said, hey, does this mean anything to you? Does it make any difference in your life? Are you being real about this God that you say you follow? Because if you are, then the next step now is to start reaching out to people. So these are some of the injustices. You may have come up with others. Families in crisis. So you know friends whose families are falling apart and they're struggling. They don't really know how to deal with it, or maybe they're just dealing with it in inappropriate ways. Maybe they're looking in all the wrong places for love. They think they can find it in a boy. They think they can find it in a girl. They think they can find it with drugs. They think they can find it with parties. But really, it's all about the struggles going on in their family. Substance abuse people you see out vaping. Why do they vape? Okay, statistics show that vaping, like drinking, isn't something that people think. My brother, he drank like a, I don't know, what do you say, a seal? I don't know.
A seal?
He drank like a sailor. Not all sailors drink. My older brother, he drank a lot. And I remember asking him one time, because I was curious, I said, Randy, not my younger brother Jeff, so please, if he ever shows up, don't accuse him of being a drinker. He doesn't even drink pop. So my older brother said, hey, you know, why do you drink? Does it taste good? And he's like, yeah, it's okay. It's not like if you want to pay for the extra for the specialty beer or for the, you know, the specialty drinks, but he said, no, it's just what you do. So it's like a Slurpee. And he goes, no, it's probably less tasteful than a Slurpee, because Slurpees come in flavors. You'd have to go into those fancy drinks with the umbrellas. So he was like, no, it doesn't taste that great. Vaping, it's not a great feel on your lungs. It's not a great feel. So why do people do it? See, you got to get underlying why your friends do some of the things they do. What about early maturity? So kids that are 13 wanting to date 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds or 22-year-olds. Kids that are 12 and 13, my 11 and 12-year-olds at school, who thought it was really cool the other day, they're posting themselves on the up-and-coming gang site. It's a new gang in Surrey, and they posted themselves holding guns, vaping, with a vape in one hand, a gun in the other. And, of course, 11 and 12-year-olds aren't the brightest. Number one, you are on school grounds using free school Wi-Fi. All of that is searched daily for stuff like that. They have algorithms just searching for guns, searching for gang. If you use the free Wi-Fi at school, everything you do is being monitored. So it flags it, and it's like, hey, what's this guy doing at our school? Yeah, we have this picture that came up on Instagram, and you're like, and you're Instagramming your stupidity. Wow, okay. Yeah, no, that's that kid over there. That one there, he's got his head down, little hoodie over his head. I can tell by his pants. That's that one over there. You three, come here. Yeah, no, this police officer wants to speak to you outside, along with the Safe Schools liaison and the principal, and you're suspended for a week. Because not only did you did it right in front of the school, and it's timestamped 3:02. So you did it 20 minutes after school. Not even on a weekend. Not even later at night, when we still got kids around on the school, right? Why are they doing those things? What are they looking for? Purpose? Value? Meaning? Love? Acceptance? People don't join gangs because they want to live long. They join gangs because there's a sense of belonging. I finally found somebody who likes me. And they're willing to accept me for who I am. They don't want me to change. They'll take me just as I am. Of course they will. Because they want to kill you. And they want to use you. And they want to abuse you. But you don't find that out till later. What about violence in schools, the bullying that's going on? Materialism. Everybody has to have the latest and greatest. Even when I went and got my new phone on the weekend, the lady says to me, seriously? You do know there's a newer model. I said, yeah, that's going to cost me twice as much money. I'll take the old model. But the new model's so much nicer. I said, really? How's it nicer? It's got a better camera. I said, how much better? It's 14 megapixels instead of 12. I said, you know what? My eye can't tell. I'll take 12. Yes, but it has a rear camera. So does this one. It's got a front camera. So does this one. Seriously, you're not selling me here, lady. And you want to charge me. Don't sign out. Sorry, you waived that charge fee. Not only that, I want the $50 for being referred to from a friend. What's the friend's name? I said, I got lots of friends. I'm sure they're all with your company. So pick a friend. I want the $50. Oh, latest and greatest. We got to have the latest. Latest purse, latest clothes, latest everything. Why? Because we need to feel good about ourselves. We need to show an image to the world. Okay, obesity, eating disorders are huge right now. Education disparity. What if you have learning challenges? What if you drop out of school? What if you're just not smart? I look at the prime place for finding friends and building friendships are when you volunteer with the special needs in your school. Those kids adore you when you spend time with them. And then they follow you around.
This is my friend.
And you're like, yeah, okay, that was just yesterday. I don't want to be your friend every day. But you got a friend for life. And the reason I know this is we were at grade 7 camp last week. And my little young boy, who's probably grade 1 or 2, he comes up to me. Have you seen Curtis? I said, nope. What do you need? Curtis is my friend. And I want to talk to him. I said, okay. I think I saw him in the gym. So then I get a call on the radio. Yeah, so-and-so's up here looking for Curtis. Have you seen Curtis? I don't know. What did he say to you? He's looking for his friend. Now, he'd never met Curtis in his life till that day. But by golly, Curtis was his friend. And he tracked him down. Finally, I radio Curtis. Curtis, where are you? Say, oh, I'm up at the farmhouse. Get down here. Why? He's looking for you, and he's starting to cry because he can't find his favorite friend. Curtis goes, friend? I only just met him yesterday. And I said, get down here. And the moment he saw Curtis, he ran across the field. I said, Curtis, could you play basketball with me? And Curtis is like, sure, come on, buddy, let's go play. And they played for about 15 minutes, and then he wandered off. Curtis comes to me and goes, oh, that didn't last long. I said, no, because he's fine now. He just needed that friend to care about him. Right? Your special needs kids at your school, those are kids that need not just your love, but God's love too, because they often feel discarded. They often feel like they're unworthy, no value, because they don't learn like the rest of us. Identity struggles, understanding gender and seeing people struggling with who they are and accepting themselves for who they are. Poverty, hunger. It was unheard of. We have a breakfast program, a lunch program. We feed snacks after school because kids are hungry. But they're not just hungry for food. They're hungry for purpose and meaning in life. Juvenile delinquency, pregnancies, gangs, running away, theft, vandalism. Now, you probably went to the big ones. Global warming. What are some other big ones? Anybody list any others? What were some of the others you came up with? Who are you pointing to, Ron? What did you come up with?
Child prostitution.
Sure. And don't fool yourself. There are kids in your schools, high schools, that are child prostitutes. That are being prostituted without most of your knowledge. It happens here in North America as well. So, are there any other big ones you came up with? So, I'm going to take a very familiar story. It's John 8, 1 to 11, and I really want you to open up to it. Oh, man. Okay. Too many M&Ms or Skittles earlier. Okay. That's right. If you're listening online, you did not get Skittles. Okay. Did I say that? I did. Okay, I want you to turn to John 8. And this is if you know anything about God, you know this story because it's talked about a lot. Does anybody need a Bible while I'm walking over here? Because you should have it in front of your eyes so you can see it. Miguel has his phone, I heard him. Oh, that was Michael? It was a Filipino voice. I just heard it.
Even my own voice.
Okay. Very familiar story. And I want to qualify this story because right before this story, it says the following if you have a Bible. The earliest and most reliable manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have these verses or do not acknowledge these verses. Now, I don't care whether there were witnesses or it was in the early manuscripts. Let's just take the story for what it is because the story is incredibly meaningful. Now, when I started this talk and I was preparing this talk, I just read this verse because I thought, oh, I like this verse. We're going to talk about this verse. And then I started to realize how this verse breaks down into our everyday lives. So what I'm going to do is as I go through the verse, I've highlighted some specific things. First thing says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at dawn. He appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. So my first point is this. If you know and live Jesus, people will gather around you. I firmly believe that. If you are different and you love Jesus and your life is different, people will respect you. People will want to talk to you. People will want to come around you in groups. Like if you got a group project in school, people go, oh, I want to be with them. And you're going to go, why do they want to be with me? Because I'm smart? Yeah, okay, that's part of it. It's also because you're a pretty good person to work with. Because even smart people in your group, can be the death of your group if they're jerks. So people will gather around you, not because you are something special, but because you have something special. Now, this is like inside you. When you accept Christ, even before you accept Christ, there is a spirit in you. When you accept Christ and you give your life to Jesus, that spirit awakens in you and begins to control your life. And when you walk in a room, that spirit that's with you enters the room with you. And there are people who walk through that door, and I'm like, whew, I just feel great because they walked in the door. And it's not because they're cute. It's not because they're, like, buff. It's not because they're smart. It's because when they walked in, the Spirit of God walked in with them. Jesus walked in with them. Their lifestyle, their behavior, the way they talk, the way they conduct themselves, the way they talk to people, the way they encourage people, you can just tell Jesus walked in the room. There's other people that walk in the room and you're like, oh, wish they weren't here tonight. Not because they don't need to hear Jesus, but because they bring the room down. Because their spirit isn't alive. And the only way to have a spirit that's alive is to recognize and feed that spirit. When Jesus was there at the temple courts, all the people gathered around him. Why? Well, he was starting to get famous, that's part of it. But he also had something that they wanted. He also had something that they knew could change their lives, that was different than what everybody else was selling them. Those people were selling the drugs. Those people were selling the booze. Those people were selling the party scene. Those people were selling the cool scene. Those people were selling the identity scene. But Jesus was sending the truth. He was selling truth, and it resonated with the people. They wanted to hear it. They wanted to be in his presence. Doesn't mean they accepted it. They wanted to be there to hear it. Number two, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. My second point is this. People with issues will approach you. Remain calm. Now, I say remain calm, because if you react to what they share, they're never going to share with you again. Whatever their issue is, whatever they want to talk to you about, if you react and you blow up or you go, oh my goodness, no, I don't want to hear that, or wow, that was just, you're weird, you're a freak, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're whatever, we shut them down. Jesus was smart enough, when they came in, brought in a woman caught in adultery. Okay, does anybody know what adultery is, first of all? Yes? Not when you become an Adam. So.
I think it's when you're married and you're sleeping with someone else than your spouse.
Thank you. That's adultery. I'm married to a woman, but I'm sleeping with another woman. Now, what's interesting is that these men brought this woman in. They caught her in adultery. It's not like they just heard rumor. They probably busted into the house where it was going on and grabbed her and pulled her out. And they brought her in front of Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, we got a woman caught in adultery here. And what did Jesus do? He remained calm. He didn't just spout off. He didn't just talk first. If I can tell you anything that will help your friends more than anything else, is just listen. Shut up. Stop talking. They've come to you to share what's going on in their life or to talk to you, and you're so busy talking about yourself that you're not even taking time to hear what's going on for them. You're not even asking questions of them because you want to do all the talking. You have to learn, just shut up. Just sit. I learn more just sitting quietly in the car, listening to conversations in the back. It's like, and then I'll just ask a question. This is the part. They made her stand before the group. How embarrassing. It's like, hey, you sinner, you caught in adultery, you come up here, you're going to stand in front of all these people. No, you don't have to get up.
You wouldn't, no.
You just stand there so we can all stare at you. You wicked woman. You terrible person. Right? Look what they did. They made her stand in front of the group. So here's the key that I said. People are embarrassed enough with their issues. Don't make it worse. Don't talk about their issues.
Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Apparently they're struggling with it. Hear about so-and-so? You got drunk on the weekend.
If they wanted all those other people to know what they were doing, they would have gone and told all those people. They came to you for whatever reason. They trusted you and told you, or you asked some good questions and they came clean on something. Not so you could go gossip it and tell everybody else. Or embarrass them more. Stand them in front of the group. Then he says, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say, Jesus? Okay, so it comes down to this. You're going to be asked, well, what do you think? What do you think about me having an abortion? What do you think about me becoming transgendered, changing my gender? What do you think about me sleeping with that boy? What do you think about me dating this person? What do you think about me getting drunk on the weekend? What do you think about the fact that I was raped last week? At some point, you have to say something. Because they've come to you. Or you've gone to them and you've seen something and you've said, man, there's something going on with that person. I'm going to go just ask them how they're doing. And you ask them and they tell you and then you're like, uh-oh. Uh-oh, I was not expecting that. Now they've said it, so what do you say? What you say matters. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will kill my heart. I know it says names won't do anything, but they do. You're about to say something that could change that person's life forever. You're about to condemn them, or you're about to encourage them. You're about to destroy them, or you're about to give them hope. What are you going to say? And you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to say. Why not? Why don't you know what to say?
Well, because they just told me they were raped. I have no idea what to say. I've never had that experience before.
What if you just tell them, wow, that hurts. I have no idea what that feels like. No idea. That's not the time to tell them, well, God loves you. Really? Then why'd God let that happen to me? That's a whole other conversation for another time. Right now you listen. You show empathy. You're careful with what you say. You don't put any more hate on them, any more condemnation. But at the same time, they're out getting drunk or whatever, you don't turn around and go, hey, that's cool, let's do it again this weekend. Well, that's not helpful. So you have to be careful. Now we're going to talk next week about some of the ways you can do this and role play and do some things. But now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap. And this is the key. Not when somebody shares something personal, that's not usually a trap. But when they want to know, because they know you know Jesus, and they go, so what does your God say about homosexuality? That's a trap. Okay, they probably already know what the Bible says or what Christian people believe. But they want it to come out of your mouth. Why? Because then they got you. Okay, these people knew what the law said. These people knew all about adultery. They made the laws. So they put Jesus to say, hey, Jesus, what are you going to say? You know the law. What are you going to say? Are you going to say we should stone her? That's not very loving, Jesus. Or are you going to say we're just going to let her go? Well, then what's the point of the law, Jesus? See, they were trying to trap Jesus just like people in your schools will trap you. Your teachers are good at it. Let's have a discussion and a debate in class. They don't really want the Christian point of view. They don't. They don't usually. Not unless you have a really open teacher. But most teachers are just like, no, that's not. And so, well, what do you think, Ronald? Well, the Bible says homosexuality is a sin.
What?
What did you say? I said, I don't have an opinion. Because you don't want to be in any trouble. You don't want people to look at you and go, wow, that's God, boy, God really hates homosexuals. So, we're being trapped. We're being set up to say something that we know isn't going to be popular. Jesus knows what he's about to say will not be popular. But he's going to say the truth anyway. but he's going to do it in a very clever way. So, in order to have a basis for accusing him, but Jesus bent down and he started to write in the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, so they just kept badgering him, he straightened up and said to them. So, this is crucial for two things. If somebody's in a lot of pain, it's really important to look them in the eye when you talk to them, because there's shame. And if they put their head down, that's shame. If you look away, you're shaming them. So you look at them in the eye. Now, they may put their head down. You don't go, put your head up. I'm looking at you in the eye. You don't do that. But you make sure you make eye contact, because you want them to know there's no shame. I have no shame for what you did or what you said or how it happened. I'm looking at you in the eye, and I'm going to speak to you directly. That's the first thing. The second thing is be honest. So you know what the truth is. You know what the Bible says. You know what's right and what's wrong. They probably do too. And that's part of the test. They want to know, does your faith matter? Are you going to tell me what you really believe? Or are you going to just tell me what I want to hear? And I've looked at girls who have said to me, should I have an abortion? Should I not have an abortion? And I said, then why are you asking me? Because I know you're going to tell me the truth. I said, okay, you want to know what I think? I think abortion's wrong. And I'd hate to see that baby inside of you die as a result of a mistake you made. However, whatever you decide to do, I will walk you through it, and I will support you with whatever decision you make. But if you want my honest opinion, you should carry the baby to term, and I will help you, and I will take you and get you resources and the things you need. But even if you choose to have that abortion, I will walk you there, I will stand beside you, and I will support you through. So I'm speaking the truth, but I'm doing it in love, and saying, whatever you decide, I'll be there to help you. Okay? Acknowledge you're a sinner too. So Jesus says, let any one of you who is without sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. You're a sinner too. Your sin might not be as bad as whoever's sharing in front of you, or the sins that they're struggling with, or the issues they're struggling with. But you got your own issues. You're a mess, too. We're all a mess. So I don't look at them with any judgment or any, hey, I got my own mess to deal with. So I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to throw stones at you. I got enough of my own problems. Oh, tell me one of your problems. Watch, I lied to your mother this morning. Okay, well, you know, I got problems a little bigger than that, but okay, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't go to parties. I might be a good, clean kid in your eyes, but in front of God's eyes, I'm a sinner. And I have sin in my life just like you have sin in your life. And I gave my sin to Jesus. You can give your sin to Jesus. Okay, it's very subtle how you talk it through, but you admit you're a sinner. I got my own issues. Jesus said, hey, if any of you don't have any issues, go ahead and kill her. But I bet all of you have issues. And they all got up and they left one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Now, this is crucial. When you're going to have any conversation with somebody that is of a significant nature, don't do it in a crowd. Don't have them gather their friends around. Don't you gather people around. Because when the crowd is there, there's more people that will misunderstand or misinterpret what you're about to say. This is between you and your friend, or you and the stranger that's come up and talked to you, or you and the person you're trying to help. It's nobody else's business. Jesus was left standing with just the woman, about to tell her what his final thoughts were. She's thinking she's going to be condemned, because that's what all the Pharisees and the religious people do. They condemn. They want to throw stones. She is cowering. She's terrified. What is this Jesus, this rabbi, this master, this teacher, what is he going to say to me? And in the end, you're left mano a mano, woman on woman, to have a conversation with your friend. And what did Jesus do? He said, no one's condemned you. No condemnation. However, he added something very important right after. He said, go now and leave your life of sin. So he didn't just leave it, oh, that's too bad. Oh, I feel bad for you. Okay, I don't judge you. You're awesome. Go. The world, right now the world is caught up on this. Everybody's great. Everybody's awesome. Every kid is awesome. No, he failed 4 tests. He's not awesome. He needs to put some more work in. He needs to try a little harder. He needs to stop giving up so easily. We went hiking. My goodness. We're only at mile point 1. Okay, it's not even a mile.
This is so hard. I want to go back.
I'm like, seriously, we just got the point 1. There's only 6 points. Could we go a little further? Point 2.
Can we go back?
Point 3.
Can we go?
Okay, I just want you to make it to point 4. If you make it to point 4, I'll let you go back. Can we get to point 4? You weren't with us at point 4, were you? So I had the last 6 stragglers, and then, hello! And they could hear the people at the top, and they went, I can hear them. I said, yeah, you're not that far from the top. Okay, it was a long way to the top, but because they could hear the sounds of the people at the top, they thought it's really close. Okay, you're at point 4, there's 6 points, you got 2 more points to go, but they think it's right there. Now, all but one made it. I don't know why I told that story. Go and sin no more. Oh yeah, the world gives up so easily. And they don't want to hear the hard truth. No. You made a mistake. Don't make it again. Turn your life around. Come with me to church. Come with me and hear what God can offer you. Let's go and get the counselor to help you. Let's find some better friends to hang out with, because those friends, they're not helping you. There has to be truth in the end, or you've done no good for your friends. Oh, you've been a good listener, but their life is no different as a result of their encounter with you. And it should always be different. Always be different. So, what can you do? We have these things. Your leaders are going to hand them to you. Okay. Oh, man. I'm out of time. Okay, so I hand those to your groups. Pass those around. So every week I try to make this practical. Every week you don't really do anything I say. So we'll try again. So what I did on this little slip of paper, and your leaders are going to help you with this, is that I listed all of the different kinds of injustices that your friends or people you know might be going through. Okay? And what you need to do is think about names of people that you know that might be facing any of those issues. So the first one, families in crisis. Do you know anybody in your friendship group or your casual acquaintances at school that might be dealing with challenges at home? And if you can come up with a name, you write the name in the box. If you can come up with a second name, write the second name. If you can come up with a third name, write the third name. Now, don't give it away if other people in the room know, because it might even be somebody sitting in this room that you know has those struggles. Okay? What about substance abuses? Do you know anybody who's got some addictions to any of those things? Okay? Do you know some people that their lives are going downhill as a result of their addictions, and they don't necessarily notice it? Do you know anybody that's growing up way too fast, doing things that they shouldn't be doing because they're not really that old, but thinking they're old enough to do all that? They're pushing themselves. Yeah, write Jessica's name down there. She knows that's her. She was pointing to herself. That's me. Okay? So what you're going to do, and this is the part that I have no control over, basically, what you're creating is a hit list.
Are we going to kill people?
Not that kind of hit list. A hit list is a group of names that you now know, you've identified, need Jesus. or need a touch from God, or need some truth spoken into their life. Maybe they don't need God completely. Maybe they know God, but they're straying from God. They're not following God the way they should, so they need some truth spoken into their lives. Maybe there's somebody on there that you know is self-harming and they're hurting themselves and nobody says anything, but everybody knows, but nobody says anything to them. Nobody goes to them and says, hey, can I talk to you about your cutting? Well, that's an awkward conversation. Absolutely it is, but we've got truth. We've got love. We've got purpose. We've got something to offer them that can help them move away from cutting and towards wholeness in their life. Do you have people in your school that are bullied all the time and you see it and you know that it's killing them inside, but you just walk away from them because you don't want to deal with it? Well, maybe it's time to go deal with it. Maybe it's time to go say, you know what? I don't care what everybody's going to say because Jesus didn't care what everybody said. I'm going to befriend that person. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to talk to them when I see them. I'm going to invite them out because maybe nobody's ever done that in their life. Now be careful, because just like Curtis, you might end up with a friend for life. Or you might just end up with a friend for a few weeks who really appreciates you took time, but then burns you in the end or goes off and finds somebody else. That's okay too. Okay? So the hit list is people that you need to go deal with. You say, oh man, that's hard. Okay, nobody says it's going to be easy. I'm not saying you got to do all 20 names in day one. But pick one this week that you can go and deal with. I'm going to put up, as I did last time, you're going to make a plan. You're going to try and deal with them. We'll talk about that again next week. But I'm going to get you to write their names down, and then I want to you to journal just like we do. But we're really out of time because it's 9 o'clock on the button. But you have time to just sit and journal. Is there a problem in my life that I need to deal with, Jesus? Out of all these things we've listed, maybe there's something I need to deal with. Who do I need to stand up for, Jesus? Which one of the names on this sheet do I need to befriend and share my love and Jesus' love with them? How can I be a better positive witness? So I do want you to just take 2 minutes to think about that before we go home.
So sing to Jesus.